Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Well, happy Mother's Day. I know that's already been said, but I want to say it again. I'm grateful for all the moms out there. I just thank God for moms. Today we celebrate you. It's your day. And so if you walk around and you say, well, nobody said anything, you were in church this morning and we told you a couple times. So happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I think of the generational moms in my own life that some of them I didn't even know, but I've heard stories of. And I thank God for my own mother, who I get to worship with every Sunday and Wednesday nights and just do life with. I sent her a text this morning, and I just said, Mom, I'm so grateful for you and that we get to have a wonderful life and serve the Lord together. That's just a wonderful generational legacy that I'm grateful for. And her mom, my grandmother, grateful for her. I used to watch her teach Sunday school or prepare on a weekly basis for Sunday school every week. And she'd have her Bible out every time I was over there. And I mean, it was marked up and had notes in it. And I remember watching the life of my grandmother and how impactful that was for me. Now, I heard stories about her life of people that I never knew. So generational moms. I heard my grandmother talk about her mom having passed away at the age of 5, and she was raised by her grandmother. And I heard stories about her grandmother and how she'd sit on the front porch and chew her snuff and spit it. And I mean, stories. Now, I don't want to bring discredit to her. There was other good stories. That's the only one I'm going to tell. I'll just go, we'll leave. So I guess I did discredit. Anyway, but I've heard stories of my grandmother's grandmother, and then I've heard stories about other people in my generational lineage, if you will, and not all of them are good stories. The snuff is on the lighter side. So I'm just grateful for generational moms that have impacted the kingdom of God. Now, just know this today. You may be sitting there today and go, well, Pastor, you don't even know my mom. You don't know my grandmother. And I'm talking about they weren't good. Well, what I'm telling you today is, are you going to use that as an excuse to why you're living life the way you are? Or are you going to look at past generations and say, I'm going to affect the future generation different?
Yeah,
that's right. There's some wonderful Christian moms, and there's some that missed it. I get that. That's not an excuse for you. And I'm sorry if you had an absent mom or an absent grandmother or someone in your lineage didn't live according to the scriptures. But just know today, that's no excuse. Let's just start from this day forward. Amen. And let's make an impact. Let's make an impact in our future. My message today is about learning to have a generational vision. And today, church, know this. If you're here today and you're not a mom, you can't just check out. This is for everyone. So you don't just get to have a free, I can go wherever I want in my mind. No, I want you to zone in to what today's title is, and it's having a generational vision. We've got to understand this. We're not just concerned about our current generation. We are concerned about the generations that are coming after us. And hear this. It seems that every generation will either blame the previous or the one coming up.
Wow. Yeah.
And we never look at our own. And I want you to know it's important for you to have a generational vision where you're at. We say, well, I'm not in their generation. I get that. Quit blaming them and do what you can do in yours. I'll explain this more because everybody's kind of looking and going, I think it's important to understand that each generation obviously has its own problems. I'm just telling you, but the generations that have had problems, the solution has always been the same, and that's Jesus. And so thank you for being in church this morning to get equipped on having a generational vision. CMC, this church, is doing the best job it can to influence and impart to each generation that is represented in this church.
Right.
And Life at every season is important. Vision for every season of life is important. And a church needs to be involved in every one of the generations represented. And so, moms and dads, it's important that you hear what God set up in the Holy Scriptures pertaining to generations. And for those of you that are not mom and dads yet or never will be, know this. It's important for you to understand your responsibility in the generations vision that you are to impart. I want to share this morning some just personal stories, personal things that have went on over the last 20 years here at my time at CMC. And I'm going to do it topically speaking, but some principles, if you will, that have emerged out of this church that I have observed over the last 20 years that I think it's as important to talk about what has happened and what needs to continue to happen as we get a generational vision. The whole idea of what has come forth out of Scripture should be very clear. God has a way of blessings and He has a way of curse. And I just would like for us to understand that He has blessings and promises available for every one of us here that's listening this morning or listening to this on podcast. God's blessings and His promises. But let me be clear about this. It's never been just about us that He's trying to bless and give you a promise for. It's not just about you. If you want to see God's best, you got to know that whatever He brings to you is not just for you. It's not just for you. When God influences us, He's influencing all generations surrounding us. So whatever generation you're in, there's a responsibility you have with the influence of God's blessings and promises to influence others. I want to start with the scripture today. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." I love this verse. You have a choice. Today, God says, I've given you a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses, and I'm going to call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you're, what? Not so that you could live, so your descendants could have life. I love Mother's Day because there's so many young people that are here to support moms. And know this, your mom is in church and you're here today. Why? Because she's hoping that you as her descendant will choose life. And so highlighting a phrase in verse 20 to make this scripture even pop more, you can make this choice by loving your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham. Oh, no, no. Abraham, comma, Isaac, comma, and Jacob. God is a generational God with a generational vision. And I love this. And so that highlight of verse 20 is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When God explained His plan to His people, He didn't just say Abraham. And there's a reason for that, because He's multi-generational. That's the way He sees life. When He talked about blessing Abraham, He was wanting to bless each generation, each offspring of Abraham. There is power when you begin to understand how God works with us in a multi-generational fashion. Today, I've got four principles. And I've for the first time, I don't think I've done this in, I say first time, it's been a long time, where I'm going to put these up on the screen so you have time to know what I'm talking about. And if you see point one, I'm still on it. If you see point two, you'll know I'm still talking about that. And so then it'll jump to three. So you have to pay attention because the points will be up there of which one I'm on. And you'll know when I get finally to four. So four things. And some of these you may be surprised by. Because they're just practical things that I've learned over the last 20 years of principles that work to get generational vision. Number one, the church is not a substitute, but a supplement to a godly home. That's a purposeful pause. The church is not a substitute for a godly home, but a supplement to a godly home. We got to get this. Why do we need to say this? So many times in the church, you'll hear this statement. We have to reach the next generation. The next generation's in trouble. We've got to do something. So you have churches trying to create a killer youth program, a just an awesome kids program. And it's great to have good youth and children's programs. But at Disneyland Children Ministry, we have found out something that pertains to Disneyland experience. Disneyland doesn't change your kids. It just doesn't. Disneyland will entertain your kids. And we believe in entertainment. There's some churches that are like, you can't entertain in church. Well, wait a minute here. The world's drawing people in through entertainment. Jesus used fish. That was some entertainment. I like fishing. He used something that people enjoyed, and eating fish is not a bad thing. Jesus used something that would draw people. I have no problem with it being a draw. We believe in creativity in our church. So don't miss my point. We have to be creative. People will ask, why do you have lights in church? Why do we have lights? Why do we have these big screens? Why are we so concerned about the sound? Because we believe in a creative God. And so as we understand this, God is inspiring. He is creative. Look at his creation. It's phenomenal. Did anybody see the Northern Lights? God. Creative. Well, why do you have lights in church? I don't know. Why do you have them in the sky at night? I don't know. You have to talk to God about that. We believe in great children, ministries, and great youth programs. I mean, we have a Christian school. We're committed to the next generation here at Christian Ministries Church. But what you can always, forever, and always know is the church can never take place or overcome a bad example at home. It never happened. It'll never happen as a way that we can save the next generation. Yeah. Now, there are a few situations that I've seen over the last 20 years where, yeah, we have an exception here. And this kid and his situation at home, the church stepped in, and there was something that happened, praise God. But most of the time, if you have one set of values demonstrated at home and another set displayed at school or church, the home's going to win. In the end, the home's going to win. See, I've just seen that example. The home is vital to bringing biblical success in the lives of our young people. So it's your job at home to make a difference. There's not a lot in the New Testament about parenting. I mean, there's really not. I teach parenting here, and I teach principles because the Bible's full of principles. Proverbs is a book of principles. But it's not a book of promises. And a lot of people look at all the Proverbs just as promises that God put out. But no, it's a bunch of principles. And if you live like this, most of the time, here's what you're going to get. But this is the way a Christian should live. And so we teach those principles of parenting. But I've watched parents teach, live, operate, and do the right thing. And then when a child gets to the age of making his own decisions, you're like, how did they twist off? I don't know. A bunch of godly men and women in Scripture had kids twist off. You go right back to Genesis and start reading.
That's right.
Now, but you've also got examples of, but just because a child twisted off doesn't mean that we forget the principles that God has placed in our life.
That's right.
So we live those, we preach those, and we do our best to get them transferred into our kids. But then the verse we've already read comes into play. Today, you'll have to make a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. And know this, all of our offspring and the next generation will all have to make that choice. So, where is the church in all of this? If the church is a supplement, I mean, it's not the main meal, it's just a supplement, then what is the church doing? It's here to help us live godly. It provides an avenue to train and to equip. It's not just here when you're not here. It's here when you are here. Okay. That was really deep. In church, a high number of people growing up in homes that didn't follow godly principles. I'm not going to ask for a number of hands, but I promise you we've got people right here that didn't grow up in a godly home. But you're here. You're here this morning to get equipped to go out and live the life God called you to live. Praise the Lord. So the church, when people get saved, and then they start getting equipped and trained to live the life that God called us, the church should be full of a bunch of wonderful examples of God's family and how it operates. And I am so grateful for that. Personally, my story. Growing up, I went to church at times, except for in the summer when we thought church let out. I don't know about you, but we spent every weekend doing something different during the summer. And then when school started back up, and it was always after Labor Day, school would start back up, and we'd go back to school, we'd kind of slip back into church. And, oh, we haven't seen y'all summer. Well, I thought church let out. I didn't know. We've been at the lake. We've been doing something else. We haven't been here, but I was partially in and partially out. And it was kind of like hang out in the world here and hang out over here. And so I grew up, and here's what I can tell you. I thank God for the church, because when I was there, I started seeing a bunch of godly examples. And when I came to the time in my life where I had to make a choice, I decided that I would follow the examples that I saw in God's house. Wow. One of them was my mom. See, that example was what I decided I would follow. I thought that was important, and I knew that church could be a supplement to living the life that God called me to live. And if I was going to eat a regular dinner, an appetite of God's way of living, then it had to be also outside of the church, not just on Sunday morning. Now, I also had a great example in my grandparents. And I watched them, and I wanted to follow after them, and I would go to church. And I'm telling you, I was one of those kids that loved old people. And now that I am one, I love kids that love old people. And I just wanted to be around them. And I would watch their lives, and I would think, how cool to be where they're at. And I would watch my grandparents, and they'd pick at each other and, you know, just the little fun things here and there. And every once in a while, one of them would get mad. I'd watch that. But then I'd watch it get fixed in a very short time. And then I'd watch that example in my grandparents. And then you know what I also watched is every Sunday, my grandfather would drive 40-some miles to get to church every Sunday because he was serving, leading. My grandmother was teaching a Sunday school class, and I couldn't wait to drive down there and go to their church because there was a godly example that I was looking at. And that supplement changed my life. I mean, I watched that, and I was like, that's so cool. And I just always wanted to hang with them. I always wanted their illustration. I watched them produce an environment of hospitality I didn't even know was a God thing. But I watched it the whole time, and every person that I would meet said, you got to go meet my grandparents. And we'd go to my grandparents' home. I didn't wait to approve a girl to date them. I'd just take them straight over to Grandpa and Grandma. And if you don't want this life, then we're done. I mean, really, that was kind of what I was trying to figure out. It was that life that my grandparents were producing that I saw as I wanted that. And what I wanted was what I saw as a blessing. Yeah. I wanted the blessing. I didn't want the curse. I saw so many lives cursed. But it was in the church that I saw an example of life. So good. That's why today I want you to know, if you're in church today, the church is not to replace the family, but it should be a supplement. And we've got to get that. The next principle for generational vision is to raise great children. They cannot be the center of your life. Please don't shut me out right now. So the baby boomers, I don't know. Maybe you're there, maybe you're not. I don't know. I'm not giving an age range. If you If you're a baby boomer, you know. And here's one of the things that that generation grew up thinking. They grew up thinking they were neglected by their parents. That's what the baby boomers thought. And so they decided they were going to make their kids the most important thing in their lives. Now, kids need to be important, but not the center of your life. So many I've watched over the last 20 years have this off balance. Someone has a child, and they can't come to church for the next year. We can't be in church. Yet I would go to Walmart and I'd see them in Walmart. They're concerned that going to church, they're going to catch a disease, but not at Walmart. I'd take looking at y'all every day over what I see in line at Walmart. I mean, I'm just, sorry, that was not. Okay. And then I'd see him, and here's what I can always tell you that I've been a little concerned about, is I look and say, hey, how are we, Mom? How are we, Mom? And the mom looks at the child and say, well, Pastor Ashley, we're good. And Daddy's working a lot. And the mom's talking through the child. And I'm going, you've got to get out more. You need someone to watch your child. Why don't you try church? We have a mother's and father's, a parent's night out. You need some adult conversation. I'm watching parents make their children the center of everything that goes on. We're going to get a van. I can't stand vans. I know they're so great. For all you that have them, I'm happy for you. I got one as a rental, and I was like, this is pretty nice, but I'm not owning one. I'm standing on something in life, and that's what. But here's what I can tell you. The reason why we're carporting everybody to what is the center of our life, and it's our children. Now, I can jump in the other ditch and say we pay no attention to our children, but that's not where I'm going. I'm right here right now. And what I'm saying is there's a balance to kids, and you don't make them the center of your life, because when they're the center of your life, where's the church? Where's God's way of life? And we're going to exit out of what God said will produce a Zoe, his kind of life, because, all right, China, let me just give you an example of what's happening. They have grown economically over the last few years. And I've talked to a missionary just recently about this. And they have an emerging middle class that's actually upper middle in their world. And they have in China a one-child policy. Okay, so China is the government, the people there, they're getting really concerned. Because all these people with one child, which that's all they have, are full of disposable income, and they're putting it all into this one child and treating that child like a king or a queen. And now, in China right now, we've got this entitlement going on. Oh, wait. Oh, like the United States. We have this entitlement mentality in our young people. I'm not blaming our young people. I'm saying whatever generation you're in, if you're the young person that's entitled, hear the message I'm saying. A generational vision says you need to make a change. Yeah. If you're the parent that's trying to produce a child-centered home, make a change. Yeah. I've seen this over 20 years as parents pick churches, even this one, based on where they're children's social environment was surrounded. So they meet someone in a social arena and they find out they're going to the church somewhere, and the parents follow wherever their kids said, we want to go to church. The church is a life flow. It's where we are fed. It's where we get equipped to do the work of God. It's where we are called to do life. I get that. Don't pick a child based on their social arena. Please hear me. I think it's important for you to pick a church based on what you're wanting as the supplement. I want this in my home. And we got parents who come here and they're here just because kids brought them. And the next thing you know, the parents aren't going to be involved with anything here because they don't agree with, and they've produced in their own children a frustration for the church. But they're only here. Well, we have our kids here. I know, and you're here for the wrong reason. Go find the right supplement, which means go find the church that wants to supplement what you're trying to produce at home. I hope nobody gets that to the point they say, okay, well, we're out of here. No, you're here this morning, so obviously you believe in what is being preached here. But don't pick a church based on your kids' social circle. We've got to be careful about not trying to govern everything based on what your kids' circle wants to be. Your kids ultimately will be as healthy as you are. That's just what's... So if you're not getting healthy, spiritually speaking, chances are they're not going to get there either. If you want to leave a legacy for your kids, let them see the life you are leading. Let them watch you experience the Zoe life. Not living frustrated. See, how you are married should be a significant input into how you're thinking about life all the time. Who you have as friends should produce in them who they want to have as friends. See, how you handle finances, what entertains you, what songs you listen to, what are your hobbies, how you pray, how you serve God, or do you pray? Do you just leave it up to everybody else in your... Or are you taking the lead, moms, dads? See, they're going to ultimately find someone to find as an example, and chances are the person who you're leaving up to pray all the time is the example that they're not going to follow. They're going to follow you. So why don't you step up and be the one who prays? I'm just trying to, please say, in your own heart, I'm not trying to whoop anybody. I'm trying to give you some examples why the church can never make up for, and even the people in the church can't make up for, what's a bad example in the home. I want to create health in the next generation. That's why I'm talking to this generation. And that, well, what's this generation? Whatever generation you're in. We're talking about generational vision. Now, as a church, we can help parents get healthy. We can help them maintain health. And then, prayerfully, we'll see the next generation healthy in the areas that they were unhealthy. If you're a single parent this morning, for sure you need the church. You need the church. So your kids will have healthy examples. I experienced in my own home divorce when I was 16 years old, and I left home and tried to make my own way in life. And praise God that there was a point in my life where I saw the examples that were set for me as a young person were people in the church, and I thought, I got to get back to the church. And I got back to the church, and I started watching the examples, and I thought, that's the life that I got to have. My marriage was falling apart. Surprise, I had a parent, parents whose marriage fell apart with no any way that I'm trying to whoop a parent. I love my parents. But you have to understand that I'm not going to lose what God has for me based on excusing. And then I was following the same pattern. Yeah. And I had to find an example of success. And the example I found of success was in the church. Yeah. All right, I got to get to my next point. Number three, we're over halfway. Generational iniquities can be broken. Not everyone needs to hear that today, but church, some people here today need to hear this. Generational iniquities can be broken. They can be broken. What happened to you was horrible, but it doesn't have to be repeated in the next generation. I have so many examples of that in my life, myself included. Church is a priority in my life. But I didn't grow up with it at the level it is now. And my kids experienced a different excitement about church in Michelle and I's life than what I had growing up. Moms and dads, Are there patterns in your life that will trip up the next generation? Find them out. Explore patterns that you were raised with, that you were raised with them, but they don't line up with the Word of God. You'll find them if you look for them. See, the Zoe life is only possible when you find those patterns and you stop them. You've got to stop these patterns. Knowing you don't want something in your life does not mean that it's automatically going to be in your life or it's going to exit.
Right.
See, just knowing it is not the only thing. That's just the first step. So once you recognize it, here's what you can do. Recognizing it won't fix it. Replacing it fixes it. You've got to replace that pattern. That pattern has to be replaced. You can't just say, oh, I'm not going to do that. No, you've got to replace it. It's a real easy one. I'm not going to make Bible reading a priority. No one says that. So I make the comment, I'm going to make the Bible reading a part of my daily life. Because I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have that as an example growing up. But I'm going to. Okay, going to, what? That's not going to replace. I just know that.
Right.
Saying it won't replace. Doing it replaces it. There's got to be a doing. Oh, church is important. I get that. Except for when we have something else better. You grew up with that. I get that.
Yeah.
That was modeled for you. You have to acknowledge it. Okay, I acknowledge it. Well, now what am I going to do? I'm going to be in church every Sunday.
Right.
Even when I'm on vacation. I mean, that's my story. And I'm sticking to it. I saw I didn't see that growing up, so now I'm over in the other ditch. Whatever. I replaced it with a different action than what I had, but I had to acknowledge it first. So you got to see the patterns. Jesus died not to just forgive me of my sins, but to break generational patterns. The iniquities, they weren't fair. It wasn't right, but you could break them. You've got to see forward. You can only drive so far looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to look forward from this point forward and say, this is what's going to be different for me. Jesus died not to just forgive me of my sins. He did it so that I could have a different generation after me because I'm an example to others. I believe some of you here needed this point, so I'm just hanging out on it for a second. 1 Peter, the more you nod or amen, I'll move on, by the way. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. Maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe your great-great-grandparents. See, you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited. It was an empty life you inherited. I'm not happy for you about this. And it was not paid with mere gold and silver, which lose their value. Well, we know that. Verse 19, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That's what changed the empty life that your parents, your grandparents, all tried to pass down. I'm not saying that everybody needs to hear this, but if that's you, Jesus died so you don't have to get that empty life. You don't have to live it. Praise God, whatever generation you're in right now, you can say, I'm not living that no more. Sometimes the worst thing that's passed down is a life without purpose, a life that has no meaning. So we're not going to pass down, I'm not receiving anger. That was in my generation, anger. I'm not going to have in my life greed. I'm not going to have selfishness. You've got to make a declaration in these areas. I'm not going to have divorce, addictions, abuse, pride, bitterness, negativity, anything that could be toxic to your life. Come on, church. God died. God sent Jesus. He died for you so you don't have to have that. I'm breaking that. Who wants that broke this morning?
Yes,
Come on, we don't have to have that. Things passed down. Can I give you a statistic? Because I like statistics. Neuroscientists, and there's a whole bunch of different names across there that I didn't even know what they meant, found out that even thought patterns can be passed down to offspring. Even the way you think can be passed down. So Wednesday nights, we're talking about bringing thoughts captive. Why? Because we've got that being passed down and people don't even know it's passed down. Why are you thinking like that? Well, that's the way my mama thought. That's what my daddy thought. And you don't even know that, but you've got to recognize that maybe that's what it was. Church, the past doesn't have to be your future. Pause on purpose. The past doesn't have to be your future. If you can just become aware of patterns that are trying to be passed down and quit using them as an excuse, that's just the way I am. We've got to learn not to repeat them and change them. Okay, God showed me something with this because this is a big deal. And probably the reason I'm spending so much time here is because this is the one that is so delivering of me and so much of what I've had to deal with. Here's what he showed me. If I just take hold of the cross, I love that we had a song about the cross today. If we just take hold of the cross, what is the cross? It's an instrument of death. That's what the cross is. And the cross could change these patterns if you take these patterns to the cross. And see, then he'd replace it with his promises for your life. If you and I could just recognize them and we take them to the cross, what's God do with them at the cross? He puts them on the cross and they're not going to be held again against you. He took them for you. And they're dead now. I don't need them anymore. I recognized them and I brought them to the instrument, the cross. He showed me as a father, if I could bring these to the cross, my kids would not have to deal with some of them. See, they had a different example set. Plenty of things I missed. I'm not here to tell you that I got it all perfect. I'm still a work in progress and I'm still trying to learn more and more to be effective in my generation for a generational vision. And I pray that's your heart. I realized a lot of this in parenting. Parenting, it's so important. I mean, I miss this stuff. And can I just say, marriage, in my mind, is just much harder than parenting. Some of y'all are like, okay, it's my opinion. Marriage is way harder than parenting. Parenting's not really that hard if you just give yourself to it. Step up to the plate. Come on, it's not really that hard. Parenting is probably one of the most unselfish things you will ever do. It really is. And you realize when you are parenting, you can't do much for you. I mean, the first 2 years, come on, everybody ought to get this. The first 2 years of parenting, there's like no feedback. No stimulating conversation. I couldn't wait till my kids could talk. I mean, it's just like raising a dog or a horse. I mean, they never say anything. You're just trying to get them to do what you said. And they can't. I'm not calling my kids dogs and horses. I mean, the illustration is when you're married, you're selfish. You really are. And I mean, if you're married to a selfish spouse, like my wife is. No, married to me. A selfish spouse. Oh, y'all thought you had me. You missed that one. She married to a selfish spouse, so I'd get selfish. And then what'd she do? She would, well, you're being selfish, so I'm going to be selfish. I could use every one of your marriages for the same example here. Your spouse is selfish, so therefore you have a reason to be selfish yourself. Well, he's doing whatever he wants to do, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You can't do that with a two-year-old. Well, they just keep going in their pants and they're not doing what I tell them to do. So I'm just going to go in my pants. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You don't do that. See, parenting causes you to get to a place where you live unselfish. It has to be about them. It's a great thing. Are you getting my point? Okay. You will start to be aware and hopefully watch it in parenting. I believe that's the way God intended it. You start seeing our children repeating everything that we do. Anybody? I mean, they're repeating everything that you do. They're like little tape recorders walking around with perfect memories. And you're like, where did you hear that, Mom? Where did you hear that? Dad said it. And I mean, I got my mouth washed out with soap 100 times for all the people that was in my generation before me. They could say it. Why can't I? You're going to be different. Okay. I believe it's just a part of God's plan. We see things that we need to deal with when we start looking at a generation outside of ourselves. Come on. When we look at a generation outside of where we're at, outside of ourselves, we start seeing things. And we see these issues in it, these issues that are in us. And we say, I got to take this to the cross because, God, I need your help. God, I need to take this to the cross. Lord, I don't want to be this. I don't want to be justifying things in my own life that you don't justify. God, I don't want pride in my own life. I don't want to have an unteachable spirit. I want to be humble, God. I want to be accountable. God, I want to be holy, God. These are the things I want. And see, you'll take those things when you're aware of the iniquities of a generation outside of your own. I believe it is God's plan to spur us to bring things to the cross. Regardless of the generation you're in this morning, everything that you take to the cross will have a downstream effect. It will. So take it to the cross so that the downstream effect is good. I don't believe there's a person alive that's breathing right now that's not influencing someone. You are influential. Your family's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Are they watching a God principle or are they watching a curse principle? Is it blessing and promises or is it the curse? It's that easy. I just believe that you're here this morning, not by accident, and some of you are having regrets. And please hear this. If you walk out here with shame, you miss this point. Just take ownership of it and make a change. It's that easy. You're influential. Your family is wanting you to make that change, and they don't even know they're wanting it because they see it as normal. But all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. You might have to say sorry to some other people. But if you don't like the legacy you've got, then just start a new one. It's that easy. Number four, y'all been waiting for it. Here it is. To have a generational vision, you can leave security and hope to your children. You can. You can leave security. We live in a very insecure world. Every generation says that. If you're a student of history at all, you'll see that many generations have said, this is the worst it's ever been. And I'm living in a generation. I hear that all the time. But I'm telling you, there are generations that it was worse than where we're at. Study the history of Rome and some of what they've dealt with. But, you know, as a parent, you can always bring hope and security to your children. I believe that with all that I am. For instance, this last Wednesday night, we had tornadoes that were supposed to be coming all across southwest Missouri. And I know that they did, and they came close to some of your homes. But here's what I can tell you. When a storm comes, children don't look at the storm. They look at the parents. We had our grandkids over one night, and there was a storm coming. And we went to the shelter, and we were headed to our safe place, or scaredy room. We called it a safe place. I'm not going to emphasize a scaredy room. We're not scared. We're wise. And we went to a place of safety, and you know, they never even looked at the sky or anything. They looked at us. And one of them kind of started to cry, and I said, whoa, wait a minute here. We don't cry. We're overcomers. Here's who we are. In the name of Jesus, this all has to leave anyway. So we just start praying. That's what we do. And we passed on a different legacy. Because there's safety and security in your generation if your generation's safe and secure.
That's right. Oh, that's really good.
What do people see from you? By allowing God to see us and that we're faithful to Him and His church, know this, God's not the only one watching. There are others watching. I want to end with this verse today. Joshua 24, verse 14 says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served and were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites." Here's what you need to hear. Every generation offers different gods to serve. See, choose the God you're going to serve. In whose land you dwell, choose. Whatever land you're dwelling, you're going to have to choose the God you're going to serve in that land. Wherever you live, whatever generation you're in, you're going to have to choose the God that you serve. Gods are going to be offered everywhere you're at. Things to worship, things to look to, things to follow. And they're going to try to tell you who you should be serving. So you've got to choose. You've got to make a choice. Other gods, other moralities, trying to be imposed upon us daily. Come on, church, all of them. But here's what I love. Is for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.